We're talking now with Susan Shea. She is candidate for the East Bonner County Library Board of Trustees and the incumbent. Susan, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So the election is this coming Tuesday, May 16th. It's going to be from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at all the regular voting precincts around the county. However, as we're airing this, early voting is possible right now at the Bonner County Elections Office in the County Administration Building. And that's just a shout out to all potential voters out there. But let's get into your candidacy. And to start, tell us a bit about yourself, your background, how long you've lived here, experience and qualifications.
I have lived in Bonner County for 30 years. I am currently employed as an accountant with a local CPA firm. I have spent 6 years as a trustee on the library, which gives me a little experience as to what the position entails. I have an interest in the library. I've seen it go from a small little building on Second with a creepy basement to the incredible facility that we have out on Division, which has been there now for 23 years, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. So
you were living here when it was in the old federal building, yes, where McDuff's is now. And, you know, that was kind of a beloved building, actually, except it wasn't really well suited for a library.
It wasn't, because every time I went in there, the book I wanted was in the basement. And it's like, in the basement?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a basement, and it's kind of...
I went down there a few times.
So we have a much more modern facility, more suited to a library.
It's really a beautiful facility, actually. A lot of people who were skeptical about moving it from a historic landmark building to that new building, I think, were won over just by the how nice the facility is.
Because you consider, I mean, it was dedicated in 2000. So if you think back to the population of the county in 2000, it was significantly smaller. And for us to have a facility like that was like, wow, this is just an awesome effort that people who came before me envisioned building and making available to the community. So I'm really proud to be part of that effort.
Were you on the board when the library decided to do the recent expansion?
I came on the board after they made that decision. I think it was completed in 2018, and I started on the board in 2017. Mm-hmm. So it was just at the tail end of that whole addition.
So that created some community meeting rooms that get used a lot now. It's really been a great asset for the community. One of the things I think I remember about that is that the library didn't actually go out and try to seek more taxes for that, right?
That's correct. Right? Yeah. For them, they would have had to float a bond issue, which meant going to the public in an election saying yay or nay to that additional funding. The addition was actually paid in full by donations. So that's how much the community is involved in the facility.
The community really rallied for that.
Yes.
And I got to say, the community's getting its money's worth out of that, because it is a terrific addition to have those meeting rooms available. Well, let's get back to my list of questions here, Susan Shea. Why are you running for library board?
I find that I'm the only person on the board with any sort of extensive accounting experience, and my experience has allowed for different and better discussions on financing the library, how our money is spent, where it's to be better spent. I would like to continue to provide that experience to the board.
Okay. Well, let's turn to the current election cycle here. What do you feel are the biggest issues that you'd like to see voters considering when they're deciding how to cast their votes?
My biggest stance at this point in time and going forward is that I am opposed to restricting or banning books. The entire board stands with that same position. Other than that, the board really works well together. We're able to discuss different topics from different opinions and come to sort of a compromise solution. So I think we're on the right track with the way that we tackle problems.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's jump into the issue that you just identified, and that's the question restricting or banning books. And let's back up a little bit, at least to the current or the just concluded Idaho legislative session. This is a question I'm asking both candidates. There was a bill that was introduced, House Bill 314, that would have allowed parents to sue schools or libraries if they disseminated, quote, harmful materials to minors. And the definition of harmful materials, as in that bill, was those that contain nudity, sexual conduct, sexual excitement, or abuse. And by this bill, the parents would actually be able to sue schools or libraries up to $2,500 in damages for each instance the material was obtained. Now, this passed the Idaho legislature in the last session, ended up being vetoed by the governor. An attempt to override that veto in the House, it failed by just one vote. It has to achieve a two-thirds majority to override a governor's veto. It's probably likely to come up again next year. And my question to the candidates is, would you have favored or opposed this legislation?
I would have opposed the legislation initially, because it's restricting books in any form is really a violation of the First Amendment. In imposing or responding to the bill itself, if you think about the books that are in the library, we'd essentially have to look at every book that we have in there and decide, yes, this does not meet the definition of obscene according to the bill, and put that in a restricted section. So the labor and the time involved in even identifying the books that meet that description would, I don't even have an estimate on how much time that would take. You'd have to look at every book in the library. The financial aspect of it would be daunting. If anybody can sue for any book that they think is harmful to their child, it could be ruinous to the financial circumstances of the library. So ultimately, if the bill should pass, we'd basically have to close the library to anybody under the age of 18 and make the entire library a restricted section to meet the criteria of that bill.
Or possibly get sued by some...
Correct. More than one mm-hmm. parent for any book that they deem to be harmful.
Mm-hmm. Well, so my next question was actually something you kind of answered there, but you know, some library patrons feel that some material should be restricted for minors, and whether such a bill passed or not, what is your response to the idea that certain books should be put in a shelf or an area that minors would have to have parental consent to access?
That comes back to a restricted section, which is a violation of the First Amendment. However, I would agree that not all children, not all minors, should be exposed to all material. But it's not really the library's responsibility or a group of people in the community's responsibility to tell parents what their child can read. It's up to the parent to determine what is appropriate for their children to read based on their own family values.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another question that's come up in the course of this particular election cycle. The American Library Association, it's a professional organization that provides various guidelines for libraries. I guess my question would be, how does the East Bonner County Library look to the ALA for guidance, or does it? What do you think the library's role in as pertains to the ALA should be?
The library is both legally and professionally responsible for providing a broad range of materials to all the people in the district. The library uses the ALA to sift through the vast amount of material available to select from. The trustees do not actively participate in that decision. It's for the staff of the library. So I'm not personally familiar with that process, but I know that we do subscribe to the ALA and we use their service to choose books.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll just throw in this little aside. My day job is with a publishing company, actually. And most people may not know it, but there's over 200,000 books published in a single year. It's an immense amount of books out there. So it is certainly a factor. There's more than any single individual could ever
check through. Where do you start? We also, individual patrons can choose to ask the library to get a book for them. And as long as it falls within the legal criteria of non-pornographic, the library is likely to go out and purchase that book for the patron and then add it to its collection. So it's some combination of patron requests and ALA bestsellers recommendations is how the collection is procured.
Yeah, libraries are a different sort of institution now that the internet has come along and given access to so many different types of material. Back when I was a kid, you couldn't check out a video because there weren't videos to check out.
So you can't really look too far back and say, well, we never had that as a kid, because we never had that option as a kid. So, you were in too much trouble running to the library when your parents didn't know. Where have you been, Johnny? I went to the library, Mom. Oh, okay. That's good. So
another issue that's come up is the district's purchase of a Sprinter van for use as a bookmobile. And I'm really not familiar with the bookmobile situation, if there's one or two vehicles that you currently have. But, you know, what was your position on the purchase of the Sprinter van, and how does that fit in with the bookmobile service that the library provides to the patrons that are out there in the farther part of the county?
When I was first elected back in 2017, the issue of replacing our current bookmobile, which is a diesel bus, essentially, that's been modified to be a bookmobile, we were beginning to have maintenance issues, repair issues. We couldn't keep it on the road because it was broken. We had to take it to Spokane to have it repaired because nobody locally could repair it. So it was starting to become expensive to maintain it and to keep it on the road. We also couldn't take that vehicle out in active winter weather. So it was off the road more in the winter than it needed or should have been. So we considered at that point in time in replacing the bookmobile. It would have cost us about $350,000 to do that at that point in time. And we chose to keep it on the road. So we muddled through a couple more years and it was getting along okay. And then we addressed it every year. And then COVID came around and it was simply not an option to replace it at that point in time because we were shut, the economy was closed for that kind of thing. Nobody was even open to build it. So we chose, finally, last year, it came out of committee. The facilities committee spent probably almost a year looking at all the options. There were those that wanted to buy an electric vehicle, but in this day and age, an electric vehicle is not optimal for this area. So the best value we could get for our money was a Sprinter utility van. It's not a Mercedes luxury utility van. It's just a reliable, well-built utility van to replace the current bookmobile. The price tag of $243,000 is primarily to convert that utility van into a bookmobile. So we ordered this last year, last fall, and we won't take delivery of it until this September. So it's not, let's just go buy a luxury van. We bought a shell of a van that's being converted to an actual bookmobile.
Mm-hmm. Are other library districts using these kinds of vans for bookmobiles?
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. The benefit to using the Sprinter van is that it's all-wheel drive. We can drive it in winter weather. It will be modified to have electric for running the air conditioning and the heater and things like that. So it's a hybrid. It gets better gas mileage. I don't have the numbers, but it gets better gas mileage than a
big old school bus.
Yes.
Converted school bus.
And I think if I remember correctly, the van that we chose is longer than what we could get with some of the other brands of vehicles. So I think the size was a factor in choosing the Mercedes. Mm-hmm.
So I just happened by happenstance to go on the bookmobile when it was at the farmer's market last weekend. Hadn't been in it for a while. Yeah, it's a really nice, it's a big space. But, you know, you can only carry a certain amount of materials in a bookmobile, no matter what size it is. Is the van will be smaller than the current one?
Correct.
So do patrons that live out in the rural parts of the county, do they request certain titles?
Sure. Yeah. There are some that do. Over the course of time, of course, the driver sort of gets a feel for what people in certain locations like to read, and they'll stock the bookmobile with a variety of books for them to choose from. Mm-hmm.
The latest mystery or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's pretty much my list. I guess I would close out with a question. You know, how do you feel like the library staff and the library board are doing in performing service for the community and for library patrons? If you're given a grades, you know.
As far as I know, they get an A, especially coming out of COVID. When the library shut down and we were closed for a month, we still managed to maintain some services for our patrons. Not a lot, because they were working from home and the actual physical building was closed. But once we reopened, they were incredible in coming up with creative solutions to provide services to all the people of the community. You're probably aware that we had a mask mandate to actually go in the library. So for those people that wouldn't don a mask for their personal reasons, they still found ways to provide them services, the same services within the interior of the library to people who didn't want to come in. So they get gold stars for putting that effort out to continue to serve the community. We also have a new library director. He has spent the last year in community outreach to find out what the community wants. Where do they want the library to go? So we're looking forward to a long-range plan from him once he puts all his information together from his public visits to form a plan for the direction of the library in the future.
And that's Victor. Help me with the last name.
I can't do that. He's just Victor. Victor, I hope you're not listening.
Well, I'm sure he is. Hi, Victor.
Yeah.
I had one to say shosh.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm sorry, Victor, that I am butchering it too, but it's a Scandinavian pronunciation.
It is Scandinavian.
Yeah. Hard for us.
Hard for us
Americans to do. Well, Susan Shea, candidate and incumbent for these Bonner County Board of Trustees. How would people find out more about you or get in touch with you? Where would they go?
I have a website. It's SusanShea4OurLibrary.com. I have an email, SusanShea4OurLibrary@gmail.com. I look forward to answering any questions any people may have.
Okay, well, thank you again, Susan Shea, and I'll throw out another mention. The election is this coming Tuesday, May 16th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at all the voting precincts around the county. But early voting is possible right now through Friday of this week as this airs at the Bonner County Elections Office in the County Administration Building. Susan Shea, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you so much for having me.